Name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. My subject this morning is to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. To be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Now, my father had this friend who lived in the same neighborhood as we did. Now, he was a man who had a very serious looking countenance. And then he walked, he would walk very, very briskly, and he was a man of few words. And I dare say that when he spoke, he was actually quite wise. But that kind of behavior that he had was only far and between. Because most times he would not be walking, but most times he would be staggering. And because he knew us quite well, he would stagger into our home. And since he was my father's good friend, that was what he did. He would just make himself at home, he would stagger into our home. And when he staggered into our home in those days, I still remember his eyes were bloodshot, his face was red, and then he would be talking incessantly. While at other times, he would be quite quiet, but during the times when his face was red and his eyes were bloodshot, he would be talking incessantly. And he would be cracking nonsensical jokes and always pulling my father's leg. Now, he looked like a man dispossessed of his mental faculties. He was possessed by his alcohol, possessed by his wine. And in those few moments that he was sober, when he was clothed in his right mind, he was like a Dr. Jekyll. But at other times, yes, when he was staggering, when he was filled with his alcohol, drunk with his wine, he would be like a Mr. Hyde. He lost control of himself, and he was actually controlled by his brandy. In Singapore, people don't drink whiskey, but they usually drink brandy. And so he was controlled by his brandy. And in those moments, he acted like a fool. Yes, he was useless, worthless, a danger to himself, a danger to other people. Yes, and he was drunk with wine. And that is what we want to talk about for a start this morning. The Apostle Paul says, be not drunk with wine. Now, Paul was talking about this subject, be not drunk with wine, because he wanted to teach the Christians at Ephesus the truth in regards to being filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul knew that the Christians at Ephesus understood what it meant to be drunk with wine. And so he says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, he says, and be not drunk with wine. Remember, he was talking to the Christians at Ephesus. Yes, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. He was not saying that you shouldn't be drinking excessively, but what he was saying was this, be not drunk with wine that leads to excesses. That's what he was saying. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, Paul, as we said, brought this subject of drunkenness up because he wanted to teach the people what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes. And he actually was wanting to make some comparisons between the two, being drunk with wine and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And alcoholism in those days was a common vice as it is today. And presumably, many of the Ephesian Christians came from that kind of background. So when Paul said, be not drunk with wine, the Christians in Ephesus actually understood what he was talking about. Yes. Now, as we said, Paul's purpose of bringing up this subject of wine drinking or be not drunk with wine because he wanted to show the Christians at Ephesus the similarities and the dissimilarities between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now this morning, I want to start with talking about the similarity and the differences or the dissimilarities between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Then number two, I will talk about what is meant by being filled with the Holy Spirit. And number three, how we may be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let me first of all talk about the similarity between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now this similarity between these two, being drunk with wine and being filled with the Holy Spirit, involves control. A person who is drunk is actually under the control of his wine, under the control of his liquor. And he is completely different from what he is when he is sober. He's two persons, as we said earlier on. When he's sober, he's a Dr. Jekyll. And when he's drunk, he's a Mr. Hyde. A loving husband and a loving father could be turned into a monster when he is controlled by his drinks. Yes, he beats up his wife, he beats up his children. Now, not so, my dear friends, a person who is filled with God's mighty Holy Spirit. He is under the control of the mighty Holy Spirit, just as a person is drunk is controlled by his wine. Under the control of God's mighty Holy Spirit, he will want to do things that please the Lord. A person filled with the Holy Spirit has that desire. He wants to please the Lord. And so he will say, my life is not mine. My life belongs to the Lord. I have been purchased by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My body is the temple of God's mighty Holy Spirit. Therefore, I must keep this body pure, holy for him. I must yield the members of my body as instruments of righteousness for God to make use of. When a person is filled with God's Holy Spirit, that's what he will say. Now let me talk now about the differences between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at the word drunk. Now the word drunk has the meaning of being soaked through. It is like it has reference to taking a piece of leather and soaking it in different liquids to soften the leather so that the leather could be stretched. Yes, so being drunk has the idea of being soaked through. Now, a post person drunk with wine can then be said to be a person who is soaked with wine. And so the verse, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, may be read as, and be not soaked with wine. Be not drunk with wine, be not soaked with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And isn't it very true, a person who is drunk is literally soaked in alcohol. He smells of it. If you walk near a person who is a drinker, yeah, he smells of alcohol. The smell on him lingers. It doesn't go away straight away. He could have drunk the night before, but when he walks near you the next day, he still smells of his alcohol. And then, of course, if he had vomited because he was drunk, yes, he will smell of his vomitus. And he becomes unkempt under the influence of his drink. He becomes unkempt and he can become indecently dressed and he behaves like one who is completely out of his mind. And he can appear to be very accelerated, right? A person who is drunk can appear to be accelerated. But actually, he is depressed because alcohol is not a stimulant. Alcohol is actually a depressant. Yes, it depresses the highest center of the brain, that part of the brain that controls the judgment of a person, that controls his ability to decide, his ability to discern. It controls his ability to discriminate and his ability to understand. As it were, under the influence of alcohol, his brain is being dulled. The central part of his brain is being dulled, paralyzed. In his drunken state, the man may think that he is on the top of the world. Isn't it true? You look at a drunken person, he thinks that he's on the top of the world. But actually, he's senselessly happy. That happy state of his is only an illusion. When he gets back to reality, yes, he will be back to where he was before, or he will be worse. Yes. Alcohol has actually controlled him to lose control of himself. That's what alcohol does to him. It controls him to the extent that he loses control of himself. And isn't it a very, very pathetic thing to lose control of ourselves? Not necessarily by alcohol. You look at a person who doesn't have control of himself, he's actually in a very, very pathetic situation. Yeah, he might be the smartest guy. He might be the wisest person around, but he's actually in a very pathetic state. I remember this colleague of mine. He was actually a very, very smart fellow, very, very brilliant, and actually very, very capable. He had great potential to grow. He had the potential of even reaching to one of the highest positions in the company. But he had one weakness. He had no control of himself. He lost his temper so very, very easily, so much so that people didn't dare to get near him. As a result of that weakness, his inability to control himself, he could not grow in his job to a very high position. Of course, he reached quite a high position, but he could have gotten to the top. But because of his inability to control himself, he could not reach there. Yes, that's what alcohol can do to a person. It causes a person to lose control of himself. And often, alcohol causes a person not only to lose control of himself, but causes him to look like a fool because he has no control of himself. Now look at this verse again. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Of course, drinking to excess is forbidden, but here the Apostle Paul is not talking about drinking to excess, but rather he's talking about drinking that leads to excess, as we said earlier on. Be not drunk with wine. It leads to excesses, so don't drink. It leads to wastage. It leads to riotous living. Now the word excess means riotous living. The kind of riotous living that this prodigal son indulged himself in after he left his father. Remember, the word of God says that he went and indulged in riotous living. And that's what the word excess means, riotous living. Now, that precisely is what a drunken man does. He lives in excess. He lives with wastage. He wastes everything away. He lives in riotous living. He wastes everything away. He wastes his time, for example. He gets drunk, maybe for a few hours he gets drunk, and then he goes to sleep because he gets very, very tired. And then the morning after is no better. He has a hangover. He's still useless. He is completely exhausted because of his drinking episode that he was involved in the night before. He's incapacitated because he's got a very terrible headache. He can't concentrate in his work, and he becomes very, very foul in his temper, highly irritable and highly annoyable. And so to calm his nerves, what does he do? To calm his nerves, he goes for another fix. He goes for another bout of drink. And so this vicious cycle goes on and on. And so he wastes his money, he wastes his health, he wastes his fame, if he has fame. Haven't we heard of great sporting stars who waste their fame away because of the drinking habit? They become alcoholics. Yes, a drunken person wastes his life away, wastes his chastity, wastes his morality. He wastes his reputation, and he wastes the lives of other people. Yes, isn't it true? Many drunken people at the wheel waste the lives of many other of other people. They mow people down, they maim them, or they kill them. Drunken person wastes the life of whom? Wastes the life of his wife, wastes the life of his family members. He does not care for them. He doesn't provide for them. Why? Because he has to provide for his own drinking habits. So you see, he lives a life of waste. Yes, he lives a life of excess. Friends, therefore, be not drunk with wine. Don't even touch it. Don't even think of drinking in moderation. Some people say, oh, it's okay. A bit of social drinking is okay. Drinking is in moderation is okay. And especially with this kind of thinking that we have on television these days, they say, oh, drinking a little bit is good. A little bit of wine is very healthy for the body. And so they say. And because of that, they say, we can drink in moderation. It's all right. But friends, it's not all right. Let's not play with fire. You will lose control of yourself when alcohol takes over your life. Now let's talk a little bit about drunkenness. I read this somewhere. Let me read these few lines to you. What is drunkenness? It is darkness. What is moderation? It is twilight. Not quite dark, but twilight. You know, at evening time is twilight. That's what moderation is. It is not bright. What is total abstinence? In other words, you abstain from alcohol altogether. No drinking. What is total abstinence? It is midday, bright sunshine. What is drunkenness? It is a fire. What is moderation? It is that which kindles it. It is the thing that lights up the fire. That's what moderation is. What is total abstinence? That which puts out the fire. What is drunkenness? It is death. What is moderation? The way to death. That's what moderation is. What is total abstinence? It is life. What is drunkenness? It's ruin. What is moderation? Friends, it is danger. What is total abstinence? It's safety. My dear friends, observe abstinence. That's the teaching of the Word of God. Observe abstinence. Now let us see further the difference between drunkenness and being filled with the Holy Spirit. So what is meant by being filled with the Holy Spirit? The Word of God says, be not drunk with wine. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now remember, on the day of Pentecost, the disciples of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, had behavior that was very, very astounding to people who heard them on the day of Pentecost when they were in the city of Jerusalem. The disciples were filled with God's mighty Holy Spirit. Yes, they preached very powerfully to the huge crowd in the city of Jerusalem. And they were filled with eloquence, filled with utterance from the one true living God. They spoke in tongues, and some people thought that they were drunk. And so we read, as we read in the passage earlier on, Acts chapter 2, verse 13. Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." No, my dear friends, they were not full of new wine, but they were full of life. They were filled with God's mighty Holy Spirit. Now, Paul wrote this wonderful verse to his spiritual son, Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:17. I'd like us to look at this verse because I'll be making reference to this verse several times this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Let's read this verse together. 2 Timothy 1:7. Let's read it together. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God hath not given us a spirit of fear. He gives us a spirit of boldness. Remember the disciples, how cowardly they were. We said that many times before. On the night on which the Lord was betrayed, when he was, he was arrested. What happened to all the disciples? All of them pledged allegiance to him before that. All of them said that they will not deny him. But that night, what happened? When the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested, all of them fled. They deserted him, including Peter. Remember, Peter was foremost in saying this to the Lord, in pledging his allegiance to him. He said, "Lord, I will not deny you. Even if others were to deny you, I will not deny you. And even if I have to die with you, Lord, I will die with you." But that night, Peter denied the Lord three times. You see how cowardly the disciples were. And then on that first Sunday, the Sunday on which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rose up from the dead, in the evening, the disciples were gathered together in the city of Jerusalem, in a room in the city of Jerusalem. I read this for you. John 20, verse 19. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews." My dear friends, the doors were shut. In other words, they met behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. "Came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." They were so fearful, so cowardly. Yes? Even up to that very night when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to them. Then you see what happened to them 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples were filled with God's mighty Holy Spirit. And they became fearless. From being cowardly, now they became fearless. They stood up and they preached to the very crowd, the devout Jews that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. They preached Christ crucified and they preached Christ resurrected from the dead. How courageous they were. To the very crowd that crucified Jesus, they preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He gives us strength. He gives us courage. Drunkards in the sober moments could be very cowardly. Yes, when they are sober, they could be quite cowardly. But when they are drunk, they can become quite fearless. Isn't it true? The wine has dulled their sense of fear. They lose control of themselves and they become fearless. But they are recklessly and carelessly fearless. Yes, they can become very quarrelsome. People who are drunk can become very quarrelsome and they might just pick a fight with anybody. But not so in the case of people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables them to be fearless, but not recklessly and carelessly. They are clothed in their right mind. They don't lose their mind. They don't lose control of themselves. The Holy Spirit gives them control of themselves so that they are able to control themselves well and not be fearful. Now, surely as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to serve the Lord well. True? You are a believer. You want to serve the Lord well. We want to be like the disciples of old. We want to be fearless like them. We want to do good to glorify Him. We want to give the gospel out. Often we wish that we can do many things for the Lord. But we are so timid and so cowardly. Isn't it true? So timid and so cowardly. Now, where are we going to get the strength from so that we'll be bold? From God's mighty Holy Spirit, my dear friends. Be filled with God's mighty Holy Spirit. That's the answer. If we want to be bold for the Lord, we must be filled with God's mighty Holy Spirit. Now, when a person is filled with wine, he literally loses his mind. He loses control of himself. He becomes very irrational. Yes, surely we have seen how a drunkard behaves. He laughs without reason and he cries without reason. True? Yes, I remember years ago we had this neighbor, a young man, a hefty fella. You know, I still remember him. He had tattoo on his arms and he was a very strong, tough person. But when he got drunk, he cried like a baby. Yes, strange behavior, but he was completely out of his mind. A person who is drunk talks garbage, like this friend of my father. He talked garbage, and a person who is drunk behaves like a madman. Not so, my dear friends, one who is filled with God's Holy Spirit, because God has not given him a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Holy Spirit gives soundness of mind, a mind that is very, very disciplined, a mind that is able to reason, a mind that is able to understand, a mind that is able to discern, a mind that is very balanced. My dear friends, that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that's the kind of mind that we will have. Now, this teaching is very, very important, that the Holy Spirit gives us soundness of mind. Because there are people today who think that when they pray in the Spirit, they say that when they pray in the Spirit, their minds can be empty and they do not have to understand what they pray. That teaching is erroneous. They say, we pray in tongues and need not know what we are praying. My dear friends, that teaching is a false teaching. That cannot be true. You know why? Because God's Holy Spirit gives us what? Soundness of mind, he said. A mind that is able to reason. That's why he dwells in us. He dwells in us to give us a mind that is able to reason, a mind that is balanced, a mind that is able to discern, a mind that has understanding. So when we pray, we must understand what we pray. We cannot say that we pray without understanding what we pray. No, my dear friends, when we pray, we must understand what we pray because the Holy Spirit gives us soundness of mind. And thank God, the Holy Spirit gives us soundness of mind. Surely some of us must have gone through experiences in life when we think that we are going to lose our mind. Haven't you had the experience before? We are so hard pressed sometimes, overwhelmed by the cares of the world, inundated by the cares of the world, so worried. Our business seems to be going down. Our work doesn't seem to be doing well. Our children seem to be doing well. And we feel that we are at the point of breaking up. We feel as if we are going to have a nervous breakdown. Now, what's the solution, my dear friends? Of course, many people will very quickly go to a psychiatrist. But friends, the Word of God says what? Be filled with the Spirit of God. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. All right? So a person filled with wine becomes completely exhausted after his drinking episode, as we said earlier on. And the morning after is a very terrible experience for him. He has got a hangover. He's incapacitated. He could have a very, very terrible throbbing headache. But not so a person who is filled with God's Holy Spirit. He is filled with Holy Spirit power to do great things for the Lord. Yes, he's not exhausted, but he is filled with power to do great things for the Lord. You look at the disciples in the early church. They were noted for one great thing. Here's the Word of God says what? They turned the ancient world upside down. That's what they did. And if you look at the behavior of Paul and Silas when they were thrown into prison, they were in the city of Philippi. They preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were persecuted. They were beaten very, very severely, very, very sorely. Now, when they were beaten, they were really beaten. Don't think that they were beaten with just tiny rods. No, they were beaten with huge rods. They were beaten very severely and then thrown into maximum security imprisonment. Their feet were fastened in stocks, so we are told from the Word of God. But you would expect them to be completely exhausted after the torment that they received. Yes, they would be moaning and groaning. But no, they prayed and they sang. They prayed and they sang, and their fellow prisoners heard them. And that night, God performed a great miracle. God sent an earthquake which flung open the gates of the prison cells. And then the jailer, upon seeing that the prison cell doors were open, he got scared. He thought that the prisoners had all escaped, and he wanted to commit suicide. But Paul stopped him. And this man asked this very, very famous question. What was the question? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and the house. And that night, this wonderful thing happened. That man and his family came to trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, so you see, people who are filled with God's Holy Spirit will work tirelessly. Look at Paul and Silas. Yes, beaten, persecuted, thrown into prison. Yet they sang and they praised the Lord. Now, where do they get the energy from? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. They got it surely from God's mighty Holy Spirit. So if we want to be filled with power to serve, let us be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Then can being filled with wine generate love? No, my dear friends, it doesn't generate love. Often people who are drunk will cause violence. They are responsible for killings, responsible for destruction. How can a person filled with wine generate love when he destroys his family? How can a person filled with wine generate love when he self-destructs? Now, no, my dear friends, a person filled with wine does not know how to love. One sure sign that a person is filled with God's mighty Holy Spirit is that the person is filled with love because God's Spirit pours down His love into that person. And love is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. The love is part of the fruit of the Spirit. How full of love the early disciples were. You know how loving they were to one another in the early church? Absolutely loving. Remember, they were all staying together in the city of Jerusalem. They had not gone back to their villages. They had not gone back to where they came from. They stayed in the city of Jerusalem for a time. And then the word of God tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked. Nobody lacked anything. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. So those who were wealthy, those who were owners of properties, sold their properties, turned their property, plundered the proceeds of their sale to the apostles, and these proceeds were made use of to help those who were in need. So you see how much love they had for one another. Where did that love come from? From God's mighty Holy Spirit. They were filled with God's mighty Holy Spirit. So a person says that he's filled with the Holy Spirit. If he says so, he must be filled with love. If he doesn't know how to love, he's not filled with God's Holy Spirit. Then that love was the most fiery kind. Yes, they had great love for the lost, filled with the love of the gospel of, filled with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. They went out to preach the gospel. No sacrifice was too great for them. Nothing could stop them. How come, my dear friends, we ask ourselves, how come we are not as loving as we ought to love, as we ought to be? How come we have no love for the lost? What's the reason? Why? Why are we not loving as we ought to love? Why? The reason is very simple, friends, because we are not filled with God's Holy Spirit. When we are filled with God's Holy Spirit, all jealousies will go, all envies will go, all quarrels will go, all misunderstandings will go. And what will they be replaced by? They will be replaced by care for one another, as the early disciples cared for one another. Yes, and all of us, if we are filled with God's mighty Holy Spirit, will have this interest to build ourselves up in the faith, and we will have this interest to build up other people in the faith, and we will have this great interest to share the gospel with others, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. My dear friends, if we have no such interest, no love to care for others, no interest to build up other people, my dear friends, you can be sure we are not filled with God's Holy Spirit. We are very, very lacking. Yes, and then a life filled with wine actually knows nothing but wastefulness, as we said. But not a life filled with God's Holy Spirit. A life filled with the Holy Spirit is not wasteful. It is not destructive. A life filled with the Holy Spirit is a very constructive life. Now, in the Old Testament, remember the word came to this man called Zechariah. Zechariah was a prophet of God, and the word of God came unto him. Now, there was a God's purpose of bringing his word to Zechariah through an angel was this. He wanted Zechariah to encourage the Jews to complete the building, the temple of Jerusalem. You see, the first temple was destroyed, and then the Jews were taken into captivity, and they were in the Babylonian captivity for 70 years according to the prophecy of God. Then at the end of 70 years, they were allowed to return to their homeland, to the city of Jerusalem. And then the first batch that returned was led by this man called Zerubbabel. I talked about Zechariah, that was the prophet, but this man who led the Jews back in the first batch was this man called Zerubbabel. And then they laid down the foundation of the temple. But then after that, the work of the rebuilding of the temple stopped because there was opposition from the local people, the Samaritans. They opposed them. And they slandered the Jews in the ears of the Persian king. They told the Persian king that if they allowed the Jews to rebuild the temple, to rebuild their city, the Jews were going to make use of this rebuilding as a rallying point to rebel against the king of Persia. And so the king of Persia decreed that the work of the rebuilding of the temple must be stopped. And it stopped for how long? 15 years. Can you imagine? Foundation laid, for 15 years nothing was done. Then the word of God came through this angel to Zechariah. And then what was the word? Yes, the word from God through the angel to Zechariah was this. Then he answered and spake unto me. Then he refers to the angel, answered and spake unto me, Zechariah, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, the man who led the Jews back to the city of Jerusalem, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And true enough, the temple was completed under the leadership of Zerubbabel. By what means? By the power of God's mighty Holy Spirit. So you see, the Holy Spirit, when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, he will construct, he will build. Yes, because the Holy Spirit builds us up spiritually. Yes, the Holy Spirit filling us will always cause us to build up people in the faith, build ourselves up in the faith, build other people up in the faith. So what are we building for him, my dear friends? I ask you, what are we building for him? Are we building ourselves up spiritually? How diligently, my dear friends, are we doing so? How diligently are we keeping our quiet time? Are you keeping your quiet time? How diligently are we keeping our quiet time? How diligently are we building ourselves up? How diligently are we building other people up in the most holy faith? Are we participating in Bible studies? I mentioned this over and over again. Ample opportunities for us to build ourselves up in the faith. We have many Bible studies going on in this church. Are we participating in these Bible studies? And when we go and participate in a Bible study, do we have this intent in mind? Do we say to ourselves, I will build myself up in the faith? And not only that, I go there with the intention of building up other people in the faith. So I want to be very, very prepared. I want to build up other people in the faith. My dear friends, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that is what we will do. And we will have great interest to build up our family in the most holy faith. Yes, members of our family, our wife, our children, we want to build them up in the faith if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Then when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, this will happen to him. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit will have a love to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, not the songs of the world, and surely not the songs of the drunkards. Now surely we have seen drunkards staggering with a bottle in one hand and then burping, half burping and half singing, and of course singing tunelessly. Now the early church Christians used to gather very, very early in the morning to sing before the break of dawn. Now they woke up very, very early to sing because they didn't want to, they tried hard to avoid persecution, so they got up early to sing spiritual songs. Yes, they sang to encourage themselves, to encourage one another, to build up one another in the faith. My dear friends, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will have this holy desire to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and not the songs of the world. And we will sing them with spirit, in spirit, and with understanding. Now, don't you think that the singing in this church is quite half-dead? True or false? Half-dead or not half-dead? Half-dead. Yes. Half-dead. I dare say. You know why? Because we are not filled with the Spirit. Now, if we are filled with the Spirit, our singing will not be half-dead. Friends, we will sing with spirit and with understanding. Yes, we'll be making melodies in our hearts to sing praises unto the Lord. Then it is always not always possible that we are gathered together in a congregation like this. Most times, we'll be alone. Yes, but friends, even when we are alone, we'll still be making melodies in our heart unto the Lord. When we are sad, will we sing? Of course, when we are sad, we'll still sing. We'll make melodies in our hearts unto the Lord to encourage ourselves. And then when we are rejoicing, Do we sing? Yes, we'll sing. Yes, we'll sing praises unto the Lord. When we are filled with God's Holy Spirit, that's exactly what we will do. We'll sing songs, praises, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs unto the Lord, making melodies in our heart. Our lives will be a life of thanksgiving when we are filled with God's Holy Spirit. Yes, we will literally live out what is commanded of us. What is commanded of us? In everything, give thanks. Now look at the disciples of old. My dear friends, literally in everything they gave thanks. They appeared, they were arrested, brought before the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin, they were beaten, yes, tortured, beaten, and then they were released. And after they were released, you know what they said? And they departed from the presence of the council, from the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You know, when you can imagine them when they left the council after they appeared before the Jewish religious leaders, after they were beaten, punished, they left them, and this is what they said. This is what they would have said. I think this is what they would have said. Thank you, Lord. You counted us worthy to suffer shame for you. Now, why would they do that? Now, they did that because they were filled with God's Holy Spirit. So, we see, being filled with the Holy Spirit is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. One who is filled with the Holy Spirit will be fearless. Yes, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. We will have a sound mind. We will be filled with Holy Spirit power. And we will be filled with Holy Spirit love. We will be singing Christians if we are true believers in the Lord, always making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. We will be living a life of thanksgiving. Now, of course, there are other characteristics of a spirit-filled Christian, but I don't think we have time to talk about them this morning. I'll quickly move on to my last point, which is this. The question is, how may we be filled with God's Holy Spirit? How? Now, really, do we have any choice to be filled with the Holy Spirit and or not to be filled with the Holy Spirit? My dear friends, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will have this desire for sure. True believers, we will want to be filled with the Holy Spirit because we recognize that if we are not filled with the Holy Spirit, we are not living normal Christian lives. The norm is to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Anything less than that is not normal. So we will have this desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul gave this command, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is not a one-time only experience. We are to be continually filled with God's Holy Spirit. Paul was in fact saying, go on being filled with the Spirit. In the state of being filled with the Spirit, yes, we are controlled by the Spirit all the time. Now, the question is, how may we be filled by God's Holy Spirit? Now, I think one of the best things to do is to learn from people, great heroes of the faith, who were filled with the Holy Spirit. I'd like to read you the testimony of a great servant of the Lord, who was filled with God's Holy Spirit. Now, he was Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman. Now, he was an evangelist, a revivalist, a pastor who lived in the turn of the 20th century, Wilbur Chapman. Now, this was his testimony. I read for you. He said, I had been struggling for 5 years. Can you imagine? He was a pastor. He said, I had been struggling for 5 years. I had glimpses of what I might be if I were filled with the Holy Spirit. But all this time, like the disciples at Ephesus, there was a great lacking. Remember, Paul wrote to the Christians at Ephesus. He said to them, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So they were not filled with the Holy Spirit. And Wilbur Chapman said, I was exactly like them, not filled with the Holy Spirit. At last, I reached the place where I felt that I was willing to make a surrender. I reached it by the path marked out by one who said, if you are not ready to surrender to God, are you ready to say, I'm willing to be made willing about everything? In other words, I'm willing to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm willing to be made willing. All right? I'm willing to be made willing about everything. That seemed easy. And before God alone, I said, I'm willing, Lord. I'm willing to be made willing about everything. Then he made the way easy for me. He brought before me my ambition. then my personal ease, then my home, then other things that came to me, and I simply said, Lord, I give them up to you. I give them all to you. He said this to the Lord. At last, my will about everything was surrendered. Then, without emotion, I said, my Father, I now claim from thee the infilling of your Holy Spirit. That was how he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And from that moment to this, he has been a living reality to me. I never knew what it was to love my family before. He thought he loved his family, but he said, I never knew what it was to love my family before. I never knew what it was to study the Bible before. He was a pastor, and he said, I never knew what it was to study the Bible before. And why should I? For I had not just then found the key. I never knew what it was to preach before. A preacher who didn't know what it meant to preach before. Now all things are passed away in my Christian experience. Behold, all things are become new. The key for being filled with the Holy Spirit is to yield ourselves to the Lord. Daily there must be yielding to Him. We are filled with Him when we are yielded to Him. We are filled with Him when we are yielded to Him. So friends, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Being drunk with wine means being controlled by wine to the extent that we lose control of ourselves. Now being drunk causes us to be wasteful, destructive. We waste our lives, we waste the life of other people. Now rather than being controlled by wine, let us be controlled by God's Holy Spirit. Keep on being filled with God's Holy Spirit. Keep on being controlled by Him. And when we are controlled by Him, filled with God's mighty Holy Spirit, the Word of God says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Which means if we are filled with God's mighty Holy Spirit, we must necessarily be fearless for Him. He will give us a sound mind, a mind that is able to reason, a mind that is very rational, a mind that is very discerning. He will give us power to live for Him, and He will give us the ability to love. He will keep us praising Him with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Yes, and not songs of the world. He will give us a spirit of thanksgiving. Now, so friends, how to be filled? The answer is, you surrender to Him. I trust all of us here who are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have this holy desire to be filled with God's mighty Holy Spirit. Yes, remember what this man said? It was something unemotional. You might become very emotional about it, but Wilbur Chapman said, I didn't feel anything, nothing emotional. I just surrendered myself to the Lord. And the Lord took me as I was and filled me with His Holy Spirit. And that's what we must be doing, my dear friends. Come before Him, surrender ourselves to Him, yield ourselves to Him, and He will fill us with His Holy Spirit. Will we not do that, friends? Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for this great and wonderful gift of the person of God's mighty Holy Spirit, whom you sent, Lord, for the purpose of indwelling us. Lord, we know that we have been dwelt by your Holy Spirit the day we came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. And yet, so often, we have been living lives that are so powerless, we have been living lives that are not victorious at all. How we need to be filled by your mighty Holy Spirit. And this morning, O Lord God, we pray that as you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, Lord, help us to know this Holy Spirit of yours in this, with these gifts that come from Him. Lord, we pray that you will fill Him with us so that we may indeed be fearless, be bold Christians, people who are filled with the power of God, people who are filled with the love of God, and people who have been given soundness of mind that is able to reason, discern, and have good understanding and have good wisdom. Lord, we know that we can only be filled if we are willing to yield and surrender ourselves to you. And so this morning, we pray that we may all be willing to surrender ourselves to you. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.